Cambodians have waited 3 decades for this day, when the surviving leaders of the Khmer Rouge movement appear in court, charged with an array of crimes. Genocide, war crimes, crimes against humanity, murder, the list is long. The 4 defendants are Nguyen Chia, also known as Brother Number 2, who is considered the movement's chief ideologue, Khieu Samphan, the head of state, Yeng Sari, the foreign minister, and his wife, Yeng Tirit, the social affairs minister. The defendants in this case, the court's second, deny all charges. That marks a change from case 1, where former security chief Kangek Iv, known as Comrade Doik, admitted his role and pledged to cooperate with the court. Doik ran the notorious S21 security center in Phnom Penh, where at least 14,000 men, women and children were held, tortured and then executed as enemies of the revolution. Doik was convicted of war crimes and crimes against humanity and was jailed for 30 years. He has appealed his conviction. There is a key distinction, though, between Doik and the 4 defendants in Case 2. Doik was charged with implementing policy. In his case, that involved torture and executions to unmask so-called strings of traitors whom the regime believed were trying to undermine the revolution. But the 4 defendants in Case 2 are effectively on trial for devising policy, which distances them from atrocities. Claire Duffy monitors the tribunal on behalf of the Soros-funded Open Society Justice Initiative. She says that difference will likely feature in defence arguments.
When we've seen trials of this scope involving defendants at that level of leadership, allegedly, that is the kind of defence that's typically been run, either that they weren't present at meetings where these kind of policies were devised, or that they weren't aware of what actually was going to be the result of the policies that were being devised, i.e. Killings, tortures, etc.
When the court closed Case 2 last year, tribunal officials said the case file of 350,000 documents would make this the most complex since the Nuremberg trials of the Nazis. There are other complexities too. For a start, the tribunal has recently been racked by divisions over its handling of 2 more cases, known as Cases 3 and 4. The Cambodian government has long said it would not permit those last cases to proceed because they could threaten the country's stability. Investigating judges have been accused of deliberately undermining the cases because of political pressure. Several UN staff members recently quit the investigation's office in response, and there are fears that the court's handling of cases 3 and 4 could damage its legacy. Another challenge is that all 4 defendants are elderly, between 79 and 85 years old, and none is in robust health. The trial will likely take several years, and there are fears one or more could die before it ends. That is what happened in the trial of former Serbian leader Slobodan Milosevic at The Hague, as well as with a number of defendants at the Rwanda tribunal. OSJR's Duffy says a new rule will allow convictions or acquittals to be delivered against the accused as the trial proceeds. So unless a defendant dies very early on, they would either be convicted or acquitted of certain crimes prior to the trial's conclusion.
The objective of that is potentially to shorten the trial into smaller bite-sized pieces and render judgment progressively on each part, rather than have one huge trial involving 4 accused that potentially goes on for years and judgment is never rendered in relation to one or even all of them.
At 84, Nguyen Chia, who was Pol Pot's deputy, is the 2nd oldest defendant. He has previously blamed Cambodia's age-old enemy, Vietnam, for much of what went wrong during his government's rule. Michiel Pestman, one of Nguyen Chia's defence lawyers, says he is not optimistic that his client will receive a fair trial.
The signs are on red, as far as we're concerned. We are seriously worried that this court is unable to do what they're supposed to do, and that's deliver a fair trial.
Pestman accuses the Investigation Office, which is meant to be objective in its search for evidence of guilt or innocence, of deliberately favouring information that would convict rather than acquit his client. He says that has undermined Nguyen Chia's fair trial rights.
And we've tried to influence this investigation, but all our requests to hear certain witnesses were rejected. You know. And now we're hoping that the trial chamber will hear those witnesses. We will hear on Monday whether they are willing to do so, but we are afraid that they are not as interested as we think they should be.
Much of the evidence against the 4 accused has come from a genocide research project in Phnom Penh called the Documentation Centre of Cambodia. It provided around 500,000 documents to the tribunal. DC CAM's director is Yuk Chang, and along with millions of Cambodians, he has waited 3 decades for this day. Yuk Chang says Case 2 has the potential to help Cambodians come to terms with their history.
So I think Case 2 is the most important for me. I think also for many other survivors as well, because we all know these 4 guys. As we all know that they, you know, have no acknowledgements about what happens. They put all the blame to their subordinates, and they blame others. So I think that's important that we want to hear what they have to say.
Whatever the outcome, and regardless of whether any or all of the defendants survive the trial, Monday is highly significant. The surviving leaders of one of the 20th century's most brutal political movements will stand trial for crimes committed in the name of their revolution. Robert Carmichael for VOA News, Phnom Penh.